Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Kate Delaney, maybe you're escaping the family. Did you run out and offer to go grab some coffee in the evening hours because you just needed a break? That was always like my deal. I love my family. But if my mother needed errands to be, you know, run, I would always say, yeah, I'll go get the Wawa coffee. I'll go run to the store and grab, you know, whatever it is you need, because she always had a long, crazy list of things we needed because, you know, we had to have just the perfect thing for the dessert and everything else. And ended up going to the store I don't know how many times. Hey, coming up on this hour of the show, I'm really excited because I'm giving you some of the best interviews, I think, of the year that I thought were so intriguing. One, Joe Margolina joins us, and he has some horrifying stories as being a firefighter in New York and what that's like. And I have friends that are volunteer firemen, and I know firemen who do that for a living, and boy, what a dangerous occupation. What a glorious thing they do when they rescue and help and do everything they can to protect people and protect their property, frankly. And then we're going to take you to Ireland, because remember I went to Ireland in the spring, and it was the tail end of Game of Thrones, and I was so excited about it because this was a show that it was nowhere on my radar. I wasn't going to watch it. I have no time for that. And then I got hooked into Game of Thrones and really, really liked it. And that conversation with Aidan Haughey about Slieve League, which I think is one of the coolest places in Ireland on the West Coast. And it's a small area, but very mighty in the kinds of eye candy that you see when you go there, and was one of my favorite places. And don't tell anyone, but I'm going back to Ireland at the end of May, and I'll probably end up in Slieve League. I can't imagine that I won't. All right, in the meantime, a couple of other things to throw out, because we're getting ready to jump into 2020, and next week certainly we'll talk more about what are some of the predictions for 2020. We have no Nail the Score this week, but we will have a Nail the Score in our next week, Thursday into Friday show. So just remember that, Thursday into Friday show in the first hour in the third segment. But and then by then it'll be interesting because we'll know what's happening, you know, playoff wise, and that'll make it pretty interesting. But anyway, something that popped up that I thought was interesting, the, you know, predictions of what we thought would happen and what people said a long time ago in the beginning of the decade that could happen about populations, etc. And in the 90s, the International Food Policy Research Institute projected the world population, ready for this, would increase by 2.5 billion. It would reach 8 billion by 2020. India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, the continent of Africa would add another 1.5 billion. They were right about that it was going to be a lot, but the world population, and this is an interesting number because we talk about numbers on the show, 7.7 billion. Yeah, 7.7 billion. That's according to a report from the United Nations. So they expect the population to grow by another 2 billion in 30 years. In 2027, India is projected to overtake China as the world's most populous country. But that's 2027. Ooh, it's kind of scary to do the math on that. How old will you be in 2027? I have to count on my fingers. I gotta do it. All right, how about this? The in 94, The World in 2020, British commentator and editor Hamish McRae foresaw retirement ages going from reaching 67 to 70. And In the U.S., the average retirement age in 2016 was 65 for men, 63 for women, according to the Center for Retirement Research. That number has kind of stayed stagnant for men, but has increased for women. For full Social Security benefits, the age is slowly climbing and depends on the year you were born. In European countries, 67 is pretty much the set retirement age, the earliest age when citizens can withdraw pensions. So that becomes a big topic of debate for so many people. When can you retire? Remember, I mean, I've been hearing my whole life that there's not going to be Social Security because of my age. And then, of course, the number's gone up for when people retire. And I think that's a shame. I mean, that's the worst thing is, and this is why this isn't a lecture, but because I speak and because my book is Deal Your Own Destiny, something to think about is when you're living your everyday life is to breathe, spend time with people, and be present. Why? And I know because I am as guilty as anyone of being such a content junkie and focusing on what I'm doing that sometimes I let time go by because we never know. You know, my grandmother used to say, or my great-grandmother, that we all have an expiration date. It's stamped on our forehead and we don't know when it is. Only God does. So if that's the case and you're only focused on, I'm going to do this when I retire, I'm going to do that, I'm going to go to these places, I'm going to figure it out, you might not get there. Because what is that number? Who knows? Who knows what that number is? And the greatest thing that I think my mother taught me was that, because she didn't wait on anything since my grandmother was barely 50 when she died. And this is just a kind of little sidebar, not a lecture, just some random thoughts off the top of my head, because I've been with you for 15 years, many of you, and we know how that is. Time just, boy, it just goes like that, doesn't it? Just blows by. Just blows by us. All right, in 1996, the Harvard School of Public Health and the World Health Organization predicted that by 2020, the world's two top causes of burden would be, of disease, would be healthy life years lost due to sickness, disability, or early death, and that heart disease and depression would be the top diseases. And I can see that. We see how we see the depression, we see the suicide rates that are through the roof of, I mean, even teenagers for being bullied, for numerous things. I mean, you know, I think there is a disconnect because the great thing about technology is in one way you're more connected and in another way you're more disconnected. And I think that's part of it. And then, of course, the other thing is the food supply. I mean, what are we eating? What gives us the heart disease, the stroke, that kind of stuff? And a lot of that has to do with food. As you know, we've had in our health segments people on, as many as I can find, to talk about that. All right, I love this one. We keep talking about Mars. A 96 report by the Space Studies Board of the National Research Council said that NASA would launch possible human exploration missions to the Moon and Mars within the next quarter century, predicting that humans would land on Mars by 2018. Dun-da-da-da! Nope, did not happen. In 2020, humans arrive on Mars. That was another scenario that was pointed out by the futurists, by a lot of different futurists, but we haven't set foot on Mars. But we've landed 8 unmanned spacecraft on the surface. Does that count? I think it counts, right? That's a good thing that we were able to do that. But nobody has stepped foot. I mean, there's even shows about that. Then there was one other quick thing. In 1968, they thought by 2020, Americans would work 1,370 hours a year or 26 hours a week. How about you multiply that? It's the opposite. I think people are working, I just said that, are working way too much, way more than ever. All right, stay with us. Excited about the guests that we have coming up, especially we're going to take you to Ireland. Hang through.
Hello? Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
How would you like to hit the range tomorrow with a brand new gun? Because the United States Concealed Carry Association wants to give you a free gun right now. That's right, completely free. The USCCA is here to give every responsibly armed American the education, training, legal, and financial protection they need. And today, they're giving you not one, but four free chances to win $1,000. Simply text GCN to 87222 to get entered now, and you'll get four free chances to win $1,000 for any gun you want. Text GCN to 87222 and get entered today. But remember, these free guns won't be around forever, and you can't win if you don't enter. So don't miss out. Just text GCN to 87222 and get your four free chances to win now. That's GCN to 87222.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Margolino, and he's written a book that's called The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. Joe and I had a chance to catch up before he joined us on the air, and oh my gosh, his story is so fascinating. We could probably talk for hours, but we don't have that much time, so we want to jump into the meat of this. So Joe, tell us about The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. It's about the Bronx, isn't it?
It was in South Bronx. They were trying to burn it down, and there was a change in clientele, and the welfare moved in. And we got a lot of fires. And also, there was a master plan to burn the South Bronx down.
Wow, a master plan to burn the South Bronx down. For people listening to us, and plenty of people on the East Coast or people who have family from the Bronx and remember those times. And I should say, you were a fireman, so you were there on the front lines, right?
That's right. That's right. For 10 years.
Wow, 10 years. And what did your comrades say? What did the rest of the guys say about what was happening around you?
Well, in the beginning, we were all young and full of pep and vinegar, and we accepted it. We loved fire. But then it got really out of hand. We were getting 2 and 3 good fires a night. It was really bad.
Wow. And putting out those fires, how strenuous was that? I mean, it must have stressed you out because you were stretched thin, right?
Right, right. Well, like I said, we got 2 or 3 good fires a night, and they sometimes took an hour or two to put out each one.
You said there was a master plan to burn the South Bronx down. Why was that? Because of how awful it had gotten?
No, it's there was no real estate left, and they wanted to, like, build the Bronx up, and there was nothing but tenements down there, and they were getting rid of the tenements.
Wow. And so, sure, it was odd that you kept having all of these fires, etc. And if you go back to that time, you know, the equipment was different, the amount of manpower was different. What was a typical crew like to put out all these fires, like the title of your book said, The Forgotten War, Fire and Death? What would a typical day or night be like fighting those fires?
Well, we were going out sometimes 20 times a night on calls. And alongside of that, we were fighting two good fires a night. So it was hell. Believe me, it was hell.
Wow. And you told me a story that I think is, people don't realize, I think, what it's like to be a fireman, where you're not only at the front lines of the fire, your own life could be taken, but that sometimes people, you save them and it's an amazing thing, and sometimes there's nothing you can do and they expire in your arms, right? You told me a story about that. You had a woman that you tried to rescue and she just expired right there in your arms, right?
Yes, I took her out of a plane crash. And they gave it to me, and her eye was out of her socket. It was on her cheek, and she was to my arms, and I was taking it to the ambulance, and I could feel the blood just rolling in her chest, and she died in my arms. She drowned in her own blood.
Wow. When you're in that kind of situation, how do you deal with that mentally? That's got to be taxing.
Well, when I first started the fire department, all I thought of was fighting fires, but there was so much death I almost quit. But you just had to put your mind to a certain state and get tough. Otherwise, you wouldn't have made it. You couldn't make it. It was too much death.
Wow. Wow. And the ages, the average ages of the guys that were on the front lines with you, Joe, how old were they?
Well, we were, when we started, we were in the 20s. And they lasted till maybe 40 years old. And a lot of them died before their time. We was taking in so much toxic fumes.
Wow.
And
wow,
hundreds of them were injured, hundreds. See, the fires, this was going on between the mid-60s and the late 70s. So hundreds of firemen were hurt.
Wow. And the name of the book is The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. Make sure that you pick it up at Amazon.com. What do you really hope people take away from reading your book, Joe?
I want them to know, a lot of them, the relatives don't even know what their relatives went through, like their husbands and et cetera, et cetera. And I want them to see what was really going on and what these poor people, these firefighters were going through. And also tens of thousands of people relocated. So it was hard on them also.
Right. So because of everything that was happening, people that didn't want to move or couldn't really have the means to move were forced to do that, is what you're saying, right?
Right. The Red Cross relocated a lot of people, yes.
Wow. And now when you think of your legacy and being a fireman and everything that happened there, and you see where the Bronx is now, what would you say?
I just say I would want the boys, the men, to be very, very careful, because they used to put booby traps out just to kill us.
Oh.
They cut holes in the floor when you open the door. And if you weren't careful, they cover it with linoleum so you couldn't see what was happening. You'd walk in and you go down two flights. So you always don't fools rush in, so take your time.
Fools rush in. When you had your training, so that brings that up for people listening, and I can just imagine they're trying to envision this. And as you said, booby traps and other things that you had to be aware of. When you encountered new things, I would imagine you just shared that with each other. But did you get any kind of training like that when you were in school, fire school?
No, ma'am. We were trained to fight fires. Our main thing was lives and property. First thing we do was go for rescue. But we would, at that time, there was nothing like that. They were cutting fire escapes. That if we grab onto a fire escape, we'd go down about five stories.
Ooh.
It was, they couldn't have trained you for that. There was no way. But then as time went on, you know, the word of mouth through the firemen, we were very, very cautious.
Yeah, thank goodness. And that's that camaraderie.
Right.
So we talked about the sad story of the woman who died as you were trying to get her to the ambulance. But tell us a rescue story, a good story that made you feel good at that you were able to save someone, help someone.
Oh, well, I broke down the door and there was an elderly lady laying on a couch and she was an invalid. and she must have fell asleep with a cigarette, and I no sooner picked her up and turned the couch towards stuff. Otherwise, she would have burned right in front of me.
Wow. Wow. And the toll that this has taken on your life physically, what happens to you after you've done this kind of work?
Well, I got buried alive even when I first started, and right now I'm a quadriplegic. I can't move. I just can't move.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, Joe. All that dedication and fighting in a really rough, rough time. And the book, again, is The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. And you told me, you left me a message about you're raising money. Tell us about that.
Yes, I would like to, if any chance, like Hollywood or somebody would pick it up, I would donate $250,000 if I could, and I'd give it to St. Jude's and the city for those little babies that are dying of cancer.
Yeah, so, so sad. What do you think, and when you look at this, what do you think of, because I was in New York when 9/11 happened, and obviously
right.
You were there too. What did, and you saw the loss of the firemen there, what did that feel like to you? I thought that was just awful.
Oh, it takes a heart. See, at that time, I was going through post-traumatic stress, and it really, really helped. It killed me. It ripped the heart out of me. When the planes hit the building, I knew exactly how many boys died. I mean, not that did it. But I said to myself, over 200 boys died there. It's a fireman going up the staircase with no, they shut the electricity, but they were going up, and I could see the face on in the fireman. That, you know, just the idea that they were going to have to climb 70 flights of stairs to get upstairs, you know. And they were worn out before they even started. And to see all those men die and people jumping out of windows 70 stories high, my God, because you have no chance because the heat was so great. It was like 2,000 degrees. The skin was melting on your body. It was bad. It was bad. It was no good.
Yeah, people didn't realize. I mean, they could just see it from afar, the horror of that day. But I really felt for the fire crew, too, and having so many volunteer firemen in my family's life, in my lifetime.
I really have a lot of respect for volunteer firemen because they go out. They're not good. Well, nowadays they get some kind of money up or medical. But when I was young, they didn't get anything. If they got hurt, it was theirs. And another thing is they go out and they fight a fire during the night, and then during the morning they go to their regular job. And I really, really have great respect for volunteer firemen.
Boy, no kidding. Well, we have great respect for you, Joe, for everything that you've sacrificed, and I'm glad you're shining a light on this. Pick up his book, The Forgotten War, Fire and Death, at Amazon.com.
There was also, there's also on YouTube, I got a trailer, and it shows you what was going on. It's The Forgotten War, Fire and Death, and then the trailer comes on. Or you could just put Joseph F. Maraglino. It's a trailer. It shows you what was happening.
What happened, yeah.
Right.
Yep. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And be safe, please.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
A record number of states, cities, and counties are boosting their minimum wage in 2020. On or around January 1st, the minimum wage will increase in 21 states, while another 26 cities and counties are also boosting their baseline pay at the start of the new year. Later in the year, four additional states and 23 cities and counties will hike their minimum wages, according to the National Employment Law Project. The record number of pay hikes will benefit about 6.8 million workers, and the pay gains could range to as high as $1,700 for full-time, year-round workers. Record low unemployment across most of the country has also played a role, forcing employers to bid up wages to attract qualified employees. Late last year, Amazon raised its base pay for workers at warehouse operations around the country to $15. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles. My crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Excited because I am a ginormous, that is a word, Game of Thrones fan. I've actually rewatched all the episodes even though I had seen them before.
Yeah.
And I'm here with Think Mountain, Think Season 6. and think Flip Robinson, he somehow gets the call and gets involved in this. And now when you come to Ireland, you can get those Game of Thrones tours from Flip. So Flip, first of all, let's talk about what season 6 was like for you. And the mountain is huge, and you're perfect for the mountain.
Well, yeah, the mountain's a little wider than me, you know. He's my height. Like, when I met him, we shook hands. A little scary when you meet the mountain in full costume, because he's got his contact lenses in. So a little bit freaked out with that. It was one of those limp handshakes, you know. But same height as him, and quite a guy. Lovely Icelandic fellow.
What was it like to, you know, be put in that costume? How long did that take? And then did you sort of transport yourself? Because you had to act as a guard to one of my favorite characters.
Well, yeah, you're talking about maybe now being as Hodor.
Yeah. Oh, Hodor. Yes. Yeah.
The mountain was all off camera,
yeah.
You know, but the actors acted to me, which was amazing, you know. So, Hodor, I had to get dressed up, and it was a really warm trailer that they'd be in, and I was wearing this big suit underneath furs and all that sort of stuff, and all I wanted to do was step outside, but there was such secrecy about what was happening. You know, this is coming up to the episode The Door, you know, so big time stuff. You know?
Yeah, and The Door is a very popular episode, too. So
also very sad. Huh?
Very sad. Yeah. We don't want to give away any of the details, because there's people probably, you know, we're
course,
just,
a, course,
what, 10 days or whatever, how long it is away from the final season, which is only 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, I mean, come on, you eavesdrop, right? And you try to find out what's going on. Do you know anything about the upcoming season?
I can tell you nothing. I am sworn to secrecy.
So you know.
No, I don't know anything. I actually don't know anything. But, I mean, I am in partnership with HBO, because here in Northern Ireland this summer, you know, this is the home of Game of Thrones. 95% of everything was filmed here. So, I mean, what we've got happening this summer is we've got the Game of Thrones traveling exhibition, and it's here from the 11th of April until the 1st of September this summer. So we're actually working on that together, and we're bringing people to the exhibition, and then they can come up to the North Coast with me, hang out with Hodor for the day, and take a private tour, and see some amazing, amazing scenery.
I like that. Hodor, what a great character Hodor was. So when you look at the Seven Kingdoms and you look at the characters, and you obviously know Game of Thrones forwards and backwards as well, and then having had that up close and personal experience, did you have a favorite character?
I have to say that my favorite is Tyrion, who's kind of the other end of the scale.
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, I really like him, but I've got a bit of a soft spot for Hodor, I think, as many people have, you know. He's such a great guy, you know.
No Jon Snow? I mean, come on.
These guys are too popular. You know, you got to go for the other guys, you know.
So tell us about some of the sites. You showed some great, for This Is Radio, but you showed some great images of the sites,
yes,
where you take people, yes, on your giant tours.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was this beautiful area where the trees came in together that,
yes,
I can visualize in my, yes, head from seeing Game of Thrones.
That's the King's Road. So that's actually called the Dark Hedges locally. But the King's Road, or Dark Hedges, is one of the most popular places. It's the wannabe shot that people want to come here and take, you know, down that tree-lined avenue. The trees are about 240-odd years old, so they're extra mature. And we have a lot of storms that blow through here. We followed your American example of naming our storms. I think we're around the alphabet a couple of times. The problem is that some of those trees actually get blown over, you know. I think there's one for sale on eBay. This winter.
Now, you were so close. Did you get starstruck at all? I mean, is there somebody that you met that was, he's just a nice guy. Peter Dinklage is a nice guy. I mean, a lot of the people on that set had to be nice.
They're all great. I was pretty close up and personal with Nikolai Coster-Waldau, right? Really cool guy. Jamie Lannister, some other folks.
Yes, Jamie Lannister.
And Cersei and Qyburn and the little spies were involved in a scene that I was working on. So Jamie actually acted towards me. And I can tell you, folks, that guy can act, you know, because I just had to give him a dirty look as the mountain, but the camera's on him, I'm not in shot, but he sort of flinches away. I've even got goosebumps now, you know, because I really got him. He's incredible.
And he's, of course, one of the very popular actors, handsome, wonderful, and he had the fake arm thing had to be kind of interesting, right?
That's right, yeah. No, it was kind of interesting, because when the cameras weren't rolling, we were in Qyburn's lab, and he was actually just sort of looking at some of the things on these weird trinkets and gadgets on the shelves, and I sort of asked him a question, you know, like, what is that, you know, but he of course is in character, so I suddenly realized, oh no, I shouldn't shouldn't be talking to him. I've broken the Game of Thrones. Oh no, you know.
I've broken the Game of Thrones. So how do you? I think you do have knowledge, but how do you? How do you hope it ends?
Oh, goodness.
Come on.
Could we hope for a happy ending?
Yeah, come on. Then, no, there's got to be one kingdom. What kingdom is it?
There's going to be a huge, huge fight, and it's up for anybody. It is up for anybody.
It's up for anyone. Yeah. So last question, where will you watch Game of Thrones?
I will be watching it with some friends, and we've got like a big screen, and we'll be watching Sky Atlantic every night that it's on. And we're watching it all at the minute. Like many of you, I'm sure, out there, you're all like binge-watching to try and catch up before it starts again. And it's been 2 years, for goodness sake, you know. Get on with it, you know. April 14.
It's ridiculous. I've lost 10 pounds, gained them, and lost them again. I mean, it's ridiculous. I agree. Flip, it was wonderful meeting you. Thank you so much. Look up Giant Tours, and what's your website?
GiantToursIreland.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So Giant Tours Ireland, and he is very popular because I walked across the Peace Bridge with him in Derry, and there were people that came up to him, wanted photographs, that kind of thing. So he was definitely recognized, and probably because conversations he's had with other people for what he was able to do with Game of Thrones. And so he takes those private tours, and people experience what it's like to go to those spots, as he was talking about some iconic areas, and they're beautiful areas in Ireland anyway, but because of the fact of the popularity of this HBO television series, it's just become that much bigger. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's George R.R. Martin's best-selling book series is A Song of Ice and Fire, and it was brought to the screen, and they really sunk their teeth into it, if you will, to try to storytell this medieval fantasy epic plot. And it's the depiction of two powerful families, knights and renegades and honest men and liars and thieves and kings and queens. And it first debuted, the first episode ever was April 17th, 2011, and now the final episode will be May 19th, 2019. So wildly popular, it caught fire. And I wasn't one of those that was initially interested in it, but then I started to watch it. And because I like history, and I think it was that whole medieval twist, I got pulled into it and watched it, and I went back and watched seasons and caught up and all that stuff, and really became a big fan of it. I think it's just it has that element of history that's enough for me, and the character that he mentioned, Tyrion, is probably one of my favorites too. And I mentioned the popular actor Peter Dinklage plays him in Game of Thrones, and I think he just does such an excellent job. But it's these kingdoms all at war, and who ultimately ends up ruling, if you will. What's that going to look like? There's a big reunion at Winterfell, and that's one of the main places, gathering spots, and it's interesting. It reminds me a lot of Who Shot J.R.? And I was just a kid when that happened, the whole Dallas phenomenon. But I remember it well. And there, you didn't have HBO and the cable networks the way you do in the zillion stations that you have. Then, remember, you were a captive audience, and it was just so many people that watched the final episodes, and getting into the J.R., Who Shot J.R., that was a popular episode. And it was a popular series. Game of Thrones, I would say it in a different way, is the equivalent of that. I guess that's the best way to put it. Coming up, you. It's about the mailbag. And boy, I've gotten a lot of interesting emails, perhaps because I was on the road and was bringing you slices of Ireland. But I'm going to let you do the storytelling through the email. The emails that you sent me. And a big reminder, you can always shoot me your thoughts by going to katedelaneyradio.com. We're headed there next. I promise it's not a black hole. It's pretty saucy right now. Stay with us.
In Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Continuing my slice of Ireland trip, which has just been absolutely amazing. Go to Ireland.com or, you know, check out the hashtag Fill Your Heart with Ireland, because I definitely have been doing that. And you all know my Irish roots. You know, if you don't, I'll say my name again. Kate, or really Catherine Shayna Fitzgerald Delaney. So I'm here with Aidan Haughey, and he took us up on this incredible cliff area that is now starting to become a little bit known, and it's, how do you pronounce it again?
Sleeve League.
Sleeve League, and sleeve means mountain.
Yep.
And league means stone?
Flagstone.
Flagstone specifically. So how cool is that? You just learned an Irish word. So it's starting to be discovered more, and you've obviously seen it, lived around it. What does it mean to you to have more people traveling and looking at this gorgeous view?
That's good. It's helping support local jobs in the local community, and that's good for employment all around.
Yeah. And on the, what's different about this mountain is, first of all, isn't it the furthest most point where the next island you see is what?
New York would be the next village.
Wow. I like that. New York over the next village. That's just putting that in our minds is wild. There's a couple of really neat things to talk about that are part of Sleeve League. And one of them is something that's carved into the mountainous area that was a signal to the British who were flying, if you think of World War II, right? And what is that? Tell us about that.
We've got some markings up here on the mountain. We've got ERA, E-I-R-E, written in stone across the mountain, and have been used by the pilots as a navigational aid as they're flying across the Atlantic from the States, heading into Northern Ireland. I showed them that this was the Republic, it was neutral, and safe to land if they had to. And then we've got all the headlands down the west coast, they're all numbered as well. This one is number 7-1. So when the pilot looked at his chart, he knows that this is Sleeve League and that Northern Ireland is straight ahead.
Yeah, and that would have been very important in those times.
It would. They had no Google Maps.
No. And then something just happened recently where there was a plane that crashed, and then there were people that survived, and then they ended up in the local pub. Tell us that story.
Well, that would have been back during the Second World War. One of the planes actually crashed on a beach nearby, but both of the men flying the plane survived. They ended up in a pub, and they got away the next morning. They were safe enough.
Right, and those men aren't here any longer, but the memory of them and the story is living long. And that's why, because you know how the Irish are. The story comes to life where every day it's like, oh, didn't you know that just happened? Somebody just said that to me, and I'm like, what, a plane crash? So, yeah, it was a few years ago when that happened. But there have been other things, too, that have happened here. Like, for example, tell us the lore of the lighthouse, because if you look at these cliffs, you'll see this one little section where way off in the distance there's a lighthouse. And there's a couple interesting things about it. One, that there's nobody manning the lighthouse.
No, it's a solar-powered lighthouse now at the minute. Lighthouses would have played a very important role in areas like this. All of the fishing boats coming and going to Killybegs would have been passing by this lighthouse.
Wow. And so the lighthouse hasn't been manned since when?
The lighthouse hasn't been manned now since 1974.
Wow, 1974. But then there was some kind of curse or something that was put on the lighthouse.
There was a man called St. Asicus. He was banished to the island. He was St. Patrick's first bishop. Got into a bit of trouble. He spent 7 years living on the island, praying and repenting. But the day he left the island, he put a curse on the island. He said that if the island was ever to become uninhabited, there would be three great tragedies around the island. So in 1974, the lighthouse keepers left, and the island became uninhabited. A couple of months later, a boat and all its crew were lost just behind the island. Another couple of months, another boat and all its crew. About a year after that, the third boat was lost just around the corner, but there were two survivors from it. We still have one of them living locally here.
Wow, and that does make you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely. What do you like best about the cliffs?
I like it. It's changing all the time. The colours change every month, and it's always nice. It's a different view every day. The weather's changing. It's always different.
And I mentioned, you know, for people who are listening, I would put this on my list. I would put the west coast of Ireland and go all the way up the Wild Atlantic Way. So it is getting more known. Not that people didn't go up there before, but more people are starting to do it. And you're trying to attract tourists to let you know what you have here. So you even have a center that people can come to and have lunch or coffee or anything on the way up.
Yeah, and with the introduction of the Wild Atlantic Way back a couple of years ago, it definitely helped. And it's a great tool for putting places like this on the map. People are coming, they're looking for more experiences off the beaten track.
Yeah. And of course, there's sheep. You can hear them. Maybe you can hear them. I can hear them all over the place. But it's not bothering me. I think it's really cool and really authentic. So this is a big sheep herder area, too?
It'll be a big farming area.
Yeah.
A lot of the houses around here, there'll be a farmer. The farms might be a bit small. They might have between 50 and 80 sheep each, but they're farming away nonetheless. Their lambs are starting to be born now these weeks.
So how does that work with the female sheep and the male who has his pick of the litter? Everyone, we saw a ram who was just basking on a rock, and there were just female sheep everywhere.
The rams have a nice time of it, yes. They tend to meet up with the females once every year. There tend to be one ram to every maybe 30 females.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's not Irish folklore? Or
No.
No blarney?
No.
And then how does that work? So the female sheep, aren't they moved? Because they're marked and everything.
Yeah. the males just tend to meet up around October, November time. But the male always hasn't got it great, because all of the young males that are born, they go to the factory for lamb. But the females, of course, they're kept and they're used for breeding, or they're sold on to other farmers.
All right, so they do survive. That's
they
one
do,
aspect. You told me something else that was, I thought, so interesting about this area as far as scuba diving and whales and dolphins. And I used to live in Morro Bay, California, and that area was kind of a hidden gem and known for that. And it reminded me of that. And the water is like, what, 60 feet deep in some areas?
60 feet deep at the foot of the cliffs here, but it'll be getting deeper this year.
So what can you see at certain times of the day? What will we see out here?
Oh, you'd see the whales and dolphins, and you'd see basking sharks. You'd see tuna playing as well, and all the seabirds as well.
Wow. And there has to be big fishing here.
Fishing, not so big. There is some angling here. There's some charter boats doing angling. But in the line of commercial fishing, no, most of the small commercial fishermen are gone.
They're gone. But as far as, like, you mentioned the tuna, I mean, that I just had a sandwich, I'm sure, that was local.
It's a big attraction, yes, the tuna fishing. Now, at the minute, you're not allowed to go out and fish for tuna, but if you catch them by accident, it's okay. But there's a lot of boats out fishing for the tuna.
Other people that would come up here, and I noticed there were a lot of people hiking. Is it a big hiking spot? Because you can really go up these cliffs.
It's a massive attraction for hikers. In 2011, we were designated as the beginning of the European leg of the International Appalachian Trail. So that attracts a lot of walkers.
Wait a second. Appalachian Trail is back in the States. So now we're hopping the pond.
Today you're on the International Appalachian Trail.
All right, the International Appalachian Trail. I love that. The town is interesting, too. How many people live in this area? I mean, close to the cliffs has got to be kind of sparse. It looked that way to me.
It is. We've probably about 140 people living in the town here.
Yeah. And you're one of those 140 people?
I am, yeah.
Wow. So you know everyone. Is everyone named John and Patrick and
more
Mary
Paddy's,
and
more
Kate?
More Paddy's than John's, yeah.
Well, that's great. There is something about knowing everyone. They knew you from the time you were a small lad, right?
Yeah. You know everyone, and everyone knows you, and everyone knows your business, too.
So you, for example, and we want to say this, if people want to come here, they can hire you to take them up to the cliffs. Why don't you tell us where they need to go? What's your website?
You can visit us on stevelinkers.com. Email us, call us, whatever you wish.
All right. Have you taken a lot of Americans up?
Our main body of customers will be Americans.
But we were your favorite Americans, the journalists.
Definitely,
right?
The favorite, yeah.
And we should say Aiden's done so well, but this is just your, what, third interview?
This is my third interview. All of them in the last 15 minutes.
I like that, in the last 15 minutes. What is your, if somebody wanted to come to Ireland, I mean, I could talk all night long, and I do, but what is your favorite thing about your hometown and about the country of Ireland?
It's a nice place. The people are very welcome, and everyone's glad to see you coming, and they all try and do their best for you. Yeah.
It's not the music, it's not the pubs, it's not the women,
the men. The music and pubs and the women are there too, but I suppose the warm welcome is our main thing. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much, you did an excellent job.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.